appreciate that this morning. Be honest with you, the scripture I got on my heart, I've been kind of wrestling with it for a little bit, because it's more along the lines of I don't rightly know exactly what to do here, because normally what I have a thought, I have some either something, little notes or whatever written down, and every time I tried to do something with that, it seemed to come up that, you know, it's Lord just come up and said, you know, you don't need to add nothing to what I got. It's the Word of God's complete. You know, and just the idea of line upon line and precept upon precept just kind of thought. But if you got your Bible and you're able to, I invite you to turn to chapter 14 of Matthew. I'm kind of thinking on Peter walking on water here. In Matthew chapter number 14, and I'll begin reading in verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, "Thou art the Son of God." Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I ask you, Lord, that you might help me this morning. I need your touch. I pray, God, that you, Lord, use your word this morning. Guide my way, I pray. Guide my footsteps. I ask you, Lord, that whatever said and done this morning might bring honor and glory unto your own good name. I ask you, Lord, magnify yourself. Lord, touch these that are in the midst. Whatever's necessary in their heart, I pray, God, you do a work. And I pray, God, you might encourage your saints this morning. I ask you, Lord, touch sinners. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you touch our pastor as he's away. Lord, help me, I pray, this morning. For it is in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm glad the Lord kind of brought this to my mind, because, I mean, I know I've testified here the last few weeks about worry and some things along those lines, but I was sitting here thinking on this past week, and beginning in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." You know, that word "constrained" there means, in short, he compelled. It's a strong, a strong push. He compelled his disciples to get into this ship. And you know, I don't know about you, but I can honestly say there's a compelling force that drives a Christian in this day. There's a compelling force that kind of touched my soul whenever I was walking lost in this world. I was compelled and called, in other words. I was called out of my seat that day. God called my name and saved my soul, amen. I was compelled, amen. I appreciate God compelling his people, amen. I also want to point out and bring a thought this morning. Also, you know, when Robert brought that scripture, I'm pretty sure he probably didn't have that in his intention to come in here and give a scripture. I feel like it was kind of compelled upon him whenever, hey, he brought that to mind. There's a compelling aspect to anything in the Christian's life. I'm pretty sure, like Danny said, He didn't have it. That wasn't his normal nature. I'm like that kind of same kind of way right there. People try to scam me, I tend to get mad. But something had to compel him to want to talk to that man in that same kind of way and have compassion on him. I see God compelling His people. I'm glad He compelled His people. Amen. I'm glad He took these disciples and compelled them to get into a ship. And I'll tell you why here in a minute. It said when He had sent the multitudes away, He went into a mountain apart to pray. All right, He went and got by Himself to pray. Amen. I want you to see this scripture here for the sake of time. It said when the evening was come, He was there alone. So at some point during the midst of the day, He's compelled His disciples to go and get into the ship. So I say that to give you a time frame to think about this. Okay. Now now the evening's come. So He's praying all alone. He's up on the mountain and He's praying alone. And it's the evening time. He says, but verse 24 says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. So by evening now, the ship is in the midst of the sea. So they've done went some length of time without the Lord with them. Amen. They've done went out there. I mean, I don't know about you, but whenever I tend to get away from people for a length of time, I kind of have a lonely kind of feeling. Amen. I have a feeling sometimes I want to be around my family and my wife. But sometimes it's necessary to get alone and pray and get away and kind of isolate yourself from things. But I look at this here, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea. So there's been some time they've been away from God, away from the Lord. Amen. He says, for the wind was contrary, and the ship was been tossed by the waves. Okay, I understand. I know we've made mention of this on numerous occasions. We've heard it preached on numerous occasions as well about the ship and in the midst of the sea and the life. And a life is a way to be looked at as a sea as well. I mean, and that's the way it is in our life and our lifestyle and our everyday comings and goings. There's always going to be a toss and fro, a wish and wash. I mean, it's going to be ups. It's going to be downs. You're going to have storms. You're going to have calm seas. You're going to have some windy days. You're going to have some rainy days. You're going to have some days where it's so nice and sunshiny, but you're not moving because there's no wind. And we understand and know that also the wind sometimes is all made mention of as a typification of the Holy Ghost as well. But I want you to see here that the ship in the midst of this sea was tossed, and there's rough seas. Amen. There's it's almost like a stormy sea. And I don't know about you, but in the midst of some stormy seas, I tend to get worrisome. If you see the wind was contrary, hey, in other words, they're not going anywhere. And in today's vernacular, that's like I'm spinning my wheels. I can't do anything. And in other scripture you hear about it says they toiled and rowing, amen. They're out there, they're beating and they're banging and they're doing all they can and they can't get nowhere, amen. But that doesn't mean that God didn't know where they was. Hey, whenever it talks about the description here, it's almost as if it's in a third person looking down. He's on the mountaintop. He sees them out in the midst of the sea and he sees that the winds are blowing, it's boisterous, the waves are rocking the boat, amen. He had no, he hadn't lost them from sight. He knew exactly where they was, what they were going through. I mean, so if you look at the description, like I said, it's as if it's in a third person looking out and seeing where they was. I say that to say, just continue to reaffirm the fact that God knows exactly where you are, what you're doing, and your situation. And to know, I mean, He's praying, He's in control. I mean, in other scripture, He talks about Him laying on the pillar of that ship, and whenever they called, He says, "Lord, we die. You can let us die." And I'm coming down and short changing it there, but He come up there and He spoke peace to the winds in that instance. Amen. But I'm glad even in the midst of my storms, even in the midst of my troublesome waves, and I'm rocking and I seem like I can't get nowhere and things are happening to me and I don't understand what's going on. And if you look at the time here in a minute, I'll get there. I said, but you know, hey, it doesn't matter about the length of time, how hard, I guarantee you these men were weary. I guarantee you they were weary, but God knows exactly where they're at. And I'll tell you, look here, He says, verse number 25, in the fourth watch of the night, I had to look that up because our concept of time today is not like what it was then. That's kind of a Roman concept right there. They broke it down, amen. But in the fourth watch, that's usually from the time period of about 3 o'clock to about 6 o'clock in the morning, amen. And depending on to what time of the year, the sun's already going to be coming up about 5 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, you sit here thinking about the fourth watch of the night, there might be some light. Amen. They might be a little bit of light. They might be able to see what's going on out here on the water, on the waves. They understand and know, hey, we're good, still a good ways off, and we're toiling and rowing, and here come God. Here comes the Lord Jesus Christ walking out on the water. Hey, look at that there. This is verse number 25. I'll read that. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. A seemingly impossible task to you and me. Something that's impossible. You cannot and will not, and in my lifetime, I've never seen anybody walking on water. It's impossible. We are of a solid state. Water's not necessarily solid, and I don't know about you, but I'm kind of portly. If you step out like me, if you step out on that water, I'm going straight to the bottom, amen? But I'm telling you, amen, the Lord God Almighty was able to walk out on that water that day in the midst of a storm, amen, with the waves are beating on the side of the ship, the wind just a whipping and tossing to and fro. You can't make nothing about where you're going, what's going on. I'm telling you, they were probably weary at that time because, I mean, they went most of the day. It had to be about midday when they'd got into that ship. Here it is about 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. That's a long time. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I can't go that long anymore like that. I don't know about you, but usually by 9 o'clock, I'm done. I'm in the bed. I'm dead, amen. My strength is gone. Here it is, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. They're still out in the midst of that sea, in the middle of that storm. The wind is beating on them and pushing them around. I'm telling you, I guarantee you they're weary. I don't know about you, but when I get tired, I'm wearied and down and broken down and pulled. I mean, Aaron can tell you, I kind of get aggravated, boy, just... Woo! I've been around so many people at work like that, and I'm already tired. I'm beat down. I'm drug out. I'm kind of weird. Boy, that bad spirit since set on a man, I tell you. So I can understand. I want you to see how these men probably were, the mindset of what they was. They was probably out there in that ship kind of like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm aggravated. I'm tired. And they probably had some nasty words, and they're probably aggravated one another, probably almost at each other's throats, man. I'm doing all I can. I can't do no more. And yet here come God. He was out in the midst of that storm. Hey, I don't know about you, but I've had some storms in my life, some worrisome times. I mean, times I didn't think, I mean, it felt like my heart was going to explode. I had no clue what was going on. And yet here it is in the midst of my storm. And God comes walking out there in the midst of the storm like it ain't nothing. Like he's just walking on pillars of clouds, amen. Like he's just walking on the midst of, I don't know about you, but I guarantee you that wind and that sea wasn't tossing him around. He'd probably come out there walking calmly like it ain't nothing, like it's just a leisurely stroll out there in the midst of that storm like that. And Peter, hey, they were a little tipped off on that one. They were like, I don't know about this. What is that? You know, sometimes we get to looking at things like that when we're not quite where we ought to be. We get to looking at blessings heading our way. We kind of getting, okay, what's going on here? I don't know about this. You know, I've been in church services before where I've seen God moving. I mean, really, God moving, God speaking. Whenever he cried out, look here. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they were crying out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." I've been in situations where I didn't know. I mean, I've been in church services before where it seemed like wildfire's going on, and I'm not really sure, is this of God? I mean, I've doubted. I'm telling you, if you get out there in this world and you're beat and banged and you're pushed around, and by the time you get in the midst and God's walking in on something sometimes and you're worried, you're going to be sitting there questioning, "Lord, is this really you? Lord, is this really you? Are you really coming? Are you really touching? Are you really walking my way? Is this a blessing headed my way?" And then he speaks. I'm telling you, boy, I've been in instances like that, and God just said, "Why don't you sit down and just let me take care of this? Just be a good cheer. It's really me, amen. This is really happening, amen." Hey, because I can't grasp it for me to have a God of heaven love me and come in the midst of people, amen, that's a low-down and rotten Gentile like myself. I know I'm not alone, but I just to have the God of heaven come in the midst of my storms and in my life and come by and say, "Be of good cheer, it is I." They're not worthy. I'm not worthy. Why would God walk in on a sea for them? Why would God walk in the midst of a storm with the winds and everything? Why would God do that? Because that's what my mind says. Why would God walk on water for me? Why would God do something simply in my mind that is impossible? Why would He do something that's impossible to me? Why would He show me that? How many of you got lost loved ones today? God ain't going to save him. I've said that. God ain't going to save him. To me, it's impossible. In all honesty, me standing here, to me, some of y'all might not agree with it, but in my mind, to me, standing here is an impossibility, but yet here it is. Because if you knew me as a young man growing up, I couldn't say nothing. I could get up here. I'm like Nathan sometimes when he's singing. I don't know if you ever paid any attention to him. He's up there just going. In my mind, that was me. It's an impossibility that I'd be able to stand before a group of people and actually proclaim anything or do anything for God. But yet, I am an example of the impossible. God saved my soul. The impossibility is that I have a life eternal in me. That's the impossible thing that's been made known and I've been able to put out in front of you today. That's the impossibility. For us, it is impossible. We can't do it. God walking on water, hey, we can't do it. Hey, but Peter did it. But, look at this. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Peter couldn't walk on water. Peter could not do anything in and of himself until God said, come. He didn't have the power in him to do it. Hey, and even then, when he walked on the water, all right, let's look at this. Let's break it down in a box right here. God come on walking out in the midst of the sea, and he's walking towards this boat in the midst of this storm, the boisterous wind, the waves are rocking, and he's walking out there leisurely. And yet Peter says, Lord, bid me come. And he says, come. And yet Peter starts walking on water. I don't know about you, but if I see something like an impossibility, boy, I'm telling you, all right, let's do this. No, that wouldn't be me. I'd get out there, all right, wait a minute. Just like Peter. Just like Peter. Because, you know how I know that? Because it continually happens to me every single day. I see God moving and working and doing things for me and to people around me. And in the midst of church services, I heard it in testimony after testimony after testimony. And yet I walk out that door and sometimes I start to sink immediately. Because I walk out that door and I see the storm and I'm like, oh my goodness. For me to face that storm and to walk in the midst of that and to be able to face it head on. I don't know about you, but I get overwhelmed. My countenance begins to sink. You know, last weekend, I cooked a bunch of ribs. I mean, a bunch. I had two huge cookers piled high. And out of all that, I had just under 40 racks of ribs on there. And of the people I cooked for, there was about two left that I didn't quite get them all done. They ended up burnt. Because of the two, I ended up daring my own continent. I mean, I felt bad. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I done something wrong. I mean, I couldn't control it. I had no control of it. But I'm saying it's something so small and insignificant can bring us down. Just the idea, like Peter walking on water, just something so small as taking his eyes off, looking over here, looking over there, he started to sink. It's amazing to me how easily we can be distracted or we can be broken down or we can be brought low. I don't know about you, but I've been in services that lifted me up. So it felt like I was high on the mountaintop. I couldn't get any higher. 5 minutes later, walking out the door, it seemed like, man, just... And I'm sinking again. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water. That's past tense. Walked is past tense. In other words, he was doing it. He had a work, and he was actually out there on the water, and the water was holding him up, but his focus was directed towards God. His focus was directed directly at Christ. The focus there. Focus. You know, I got to thinking about that a little bit myself. You know, because I know sometimes, you know, my wife's probably going to get mad at me, but sometimes she'll, Nathan will be sitting on my lap, Tim, hush. Because I'm so focused on what the Word of God is being preached up here. I mean, he doesn't exist. I mean, it's not saying he doesn't exist, because I know him, I'm holding him. But I mean, the idea that I'm focused on what the Word of God is being preached to me, I'm locked. That I have no clue about what's going on in my own lap with my son. So to sit there and say, I can't focus, with all this going on around, we can't focus. We can. We can walk on the water. We can have that impossible thing. We can do it if we're focused on Him. Ain't that something? We have the ability to do the impossible, not in ourselves, but if we're focused and He has bid us to do these things. But we had to ask. You know, the thing about it is sometimes I don't ask. You know, preachers picked at me before. He said, man, I can see you as a pastor one day. I don't think so. Because I know myself. I don't know what God's going to do for me. I don't know where God's going to take me. I have no clue. I don't know what God will do with me. I might walk out that door today, drop dead. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, if I sit here and put it in my mind already, I'm already looking around. I should be focused on Him regardless of whether I want to go or don't want to go. Hey, God, hey, Peter asked and he was bid. Come. He walked on the water and could have continued to walk on the water had he kept his eyes focused on God. How often we shortchange what God can do because we kind of get taken away. We get sidetracked. In some cases, you know, we get chasing rabbits. Now, sometimes chasing rabbits ain't a bad thing because God directs it that way. But the thing about it is, we need to be willing when we ask for to be bidden. I remember that day God said, come. You know, the thing about it is this ain't one thing. This ain't, He says it one time and it's done. The day He called my name, saved my soul, He said, come. The day He called me to preach, He said, come. The day He actually introduced me to my wife, He said, come. I prayed for that. Years and years I spent trying to do this myself. I dated this young lady. That didn't work out. I dated that young lady. That didn't work out. All total, I've dated about four ladies before my wife. And then finally I said, Lord, will you just do this for me? Literally, will you just do this for me? And within a week, I didn't even mention anything to my pastor. He asked me, hey, I know this young lady down. Okay. It just blew my mind that God would do that in such a short amount of time. Something seemingly to me was impossible. Now God's given me a great wife, a good family. I got two children back here. Amen. That's an impossibility to me. I didn't never thought that would ever come to pass, but yeah, it has. You know, when me and Susan were dating, I tried so hard to get her a car. Because I thought that's what we need to make. I had a car, she had a car, we could work on getting a house, we can do all these things. God said, no, we ain't going to do that. So you're going to get to have a house. You're going to be prepared to have your wife a home. I got to praying. I said, Lord, I can't buy this car. How am I going to buy a house? How am I going to do this? Don't tell me you can't buy a house making $11 an hour, because I did. $11, and people today scoff at a pay like that today. But yet somehow God provided a house for me and my wife at $11 an hour. And I'm telling you, in this day, what seems impossible can be possible if you only ask. We got that mentality in this day that, oh, it's impossible. It ain't never going to come to pass. Did you ask? I don't know about you, but I face a lot of storms. I know probably you do too. All of us do. We're going to do that. That's our life. That's how life is. That's why it's laid out in this kind of way, to show we're going to have storms and sometimes. We're going to be on the mountaintop sometimes. And sometimes, Lord help us, we are going to end up turning our back. It's going to happen. The children of Israel continually done it for years and years and years and years. We don't have to. That's why the example's laid out. If you want God to work, then ask Him. You want to be in the midst of him and you want him there with you? Ask him.
Amen.
You got lost loved ones that you want to see God touch and save and bring them unto the life eternal? Ask him. Be like that man out there, went out there knocking on his friend's door at the wee hours of the night. Continue knocking. Just because you've done it one time, we got that mentality too. Once and no. Oh, well, he said no. I'm pretty sure these guys in the midst of that storm at night been out there tolling and rowing and beating and banging and trying to do everything they can. The wind's contrary to everything they did. I'm pretty sure they didn't say, well, I'm done. God told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. Even today, I still fight the call to preach because it's not in my nature. Like I said, for me, it's impossible. But yet God has an ability to do the impossible. He's put in me the ability to preach. Like I said, I tried writing notes on all this. I couldn't do it. God said, just go line upon line, precept upon precept. My word is complete. You ain't got to do nothing to it. You know, it seems like in today's society, we have to put everything in this little box. You got to have a three-point message. You got to, yes, sir, no, sir, and go through this little ritual. That ain't how it works. When God says, they don't necessarily go, knowing that there would be a storm, they wouldn't go jump in a ship. I mean, that ship, that waterway there wasn't supposed to be but 5 miles wide. You wouldn't think it'd take that long to get across there in a ship. But yet, here it was almost a full day. It wasn't quite the full day, but I mean, it was a pretty good long time. From most of the day to the evening to almost all night, they was out there in the midst of that storm. I'm saying, child, saint, you don't know how long these storms are going to last. I don't know how long the storm is going to last, but what I do know is God is going to come walking across that sea in my life, and he's going to come and he's going to speak peace and he's going to do the impossible. We take so much in our congregations. We take so much in our life for granted. I'm pretty sure they didn't have any clue when they got in that ship what they were going to have to face. I'm pretty sure missionaries like Brother Smith, Brother Fair, several others just went to these far off lands. I'm pretty sure I know exactly what's going to happen. I can't say what they have faced. I know what they've told us. And boy, howdy, like, Brother Tonkin, just think of what he's faced. The adversity he's overcome, not in himself, but by prayer and seeking God and God saying, come. Boy, how did some of the things he's had to face, I would cave. Just knowing myself. Now, ain't God, I don't know what I can accomplish. But I'm telling you, if these men of God can get out there and be a toiling and in the midst of a storm, and then God coming on the scene and say, come, and bid the impossible to happen, and the impossible does happen, and you witness it.
Right.
We've seen it time and time again with these missionaries and other men that preach. Brother Wayne, he's supposed to have been dead 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Cancer was going to kill him. And yet here he is today, and this day still going. It's how is this happening? It's impossible. God does some impossible things, amen. Look at here. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So even in the midst of our storms, when we do fail, we do lose focus, when we do get in the midst of all these things, he's still there to pick us up. I'm so glad of that in this day. Even when I do fail, even when I do undermine myself, because I get to looking everywhere else instead of where I'm supposed to, he's still there to pick me back up out of the midst of the sea. I don't know about you, but when you sink in under that water, you kind of get to a point where you feel like you can't breathe and you're just overwhelmed. And the pressure just seems like it's getting tighter and tighter and it's crushing. And yet there he is. He picks you up. And when you come out of the water, that just sweet relief. I'm glad he's there to do that. Because that's what it's going to happen. Child of God, that's going to happen. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? This is what I like next right here. It says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When God comes into where you're at, it's amazing. You know, I remember laying down on the hospital bed down there in Kannapolis, it's probably about 3 or 4 years ago now. Both my dad, I had, for some reason, I don't know why, normally I'd get up and take Hannah, and Hannah was sick. But I remember that night, something told me, said, you need to call your daddy and get him to take you to the doctor. I'm like, okay. I called my daddy. I said, Daddy, can you take me down here to the hospital? Hannah's sick. Yeah, I'll be right there. As soon as we got down there, we got Hannah back in the room. I told the nurse, I said, I don't feel well. I really don't feel well. Within moments, I had gotten very sick real quick. So they ended up admitting me, putting me in the room. It's amazing by yourself whenever you get to singing and praising and seeking God into something like that. I mean, to be honest with you, I had no clue why that was, but I was kind of low at that point in time. But I got to seeking and praying, and I was focused on God, saying, thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. I didn't know what was going on with me. It turned out it was just a virus, but I had no clue. I got to praising and seeking God, and I'm telling you, I don't know, I don't cry very often. You know, because, man, no, don't let them build that up in you. Me and I ought to weep. I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed to say I don't weep like I ought to. But I'm telling you, I was in tears, laying there in the hospital bed by myself in the middle of a hospital room, and God come in the midst of that room there and just said, Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do here? He said, just, I've got it. I've got this. He picked me up that day. He just reaffirmed and reassured me again. I have your back. I have control. You don't have anything to do with it. You just do what I tell you. And it's amazing to me that whenever I'm sinking and I'm at my lowest, God would still come up, pick me up out of the sea and say, why did you doubt?
Amen. Right.
He's still got the kind of love like a father ought to have for his child. I'm telling you, there's still times like Hannah slid down the stairs the other day on the bottom. She's sitting there crying. First thing I did, and I don't know why, it's his natural instinct. I walked over there, picked her up. That same kind of instinct is what God has for his child. And I'm glad of that because I do fall. I falter. I find these storms overwhelming. I find these waves and this wind tend to want to break me down. And God still comes along and just...
That's right.
He assures me and comforts me and helps me in the midst of all my turmoils, all of my storms. And he's still God. He still does the impossible. Even though I might think it's not possible. Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I'm glad that wind ceased. I'm glad the wind continues to cease when he comes in the ship on my life. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So now, I want you to think about this right here too. Now that Peter experienced the impossible by walking on water, he also experienced the impossible by God pulling him up out of the water, had God basically wrap his arms around him and say, it's okay. But not only Peter was affected, but everybody present. See, even in the midst of all your trials and turmoils and storms, and in the midst of all these things, everybody around you can be affected. See, there's no record of anybody else walking on the water, but they saw. There's no record of anybody else saying, Lord, bid me come, but they heard. Nobody else said, will you just calm this storm? There's no record right here saying, will you calm the storm and that we're in? Will you just break this wind, break this rough sea? There's no record of that, but they felt. You can't see the wind, but you can feel it. So you know when it's blowing and you know when it's not. So everybody there experienced the fact, they saw what happened with Peter. They actually heard what Peter said and what Christ said, and they felt the wind cease. Ain't that something? That even though you think you're the one that's in the midst of all that, you're the one that's experiencing all this trouble and turmoil and all this stuff happening to you, everybody else around was taking part of it. It may not have affected them in the way it did you, but they saw it. And you never know what God can use by that little example, whether it be saved or lost or anything in between. You never know what God can do with something so small and minuscule as you just being able to witness something, feel something, hear something, just because of that situation, what God can do in a person's heart. There's no record of the ramifications that's come from that to that exact moment. Like Danny said, you know, you don't know exactly what your words can mean to somebody. You don't know what that little bit of a bread or a meal or whatever can mean to somebody. That you don't know what your example or your encouraging words can mean to somebody. Or what God can do with them. So I encourage you, don't sweat the storms. Don't mind them. Take them with gladness. I understand and know sometimes it's going to get rough on these seas. I understand you're going to get tired. I get tired real easy now. I mean, the older I get, I remember my mom and dad said things that it's going to hit you one day, son. I get tired a lot easier now than what I did 10 years ago. I'm not saying I'm old, but I got a long way to go still yet. But I mean, if that decrease happens on, man, I don't see how Uncle Robert walks and does what he does at his age. And that's right. It's the grace of God. That's a testament to God's grace. But I'm glad that in the midst of storms, I have somebody who's walking with me. He knows my every need, my every worry. He knows my every thought. I mean, he knew that. Why would he even ask? Peter, it didn't say that Peter said anything. He said, wherefore didst thou doubt? He knew what was in his mind. He knew exactly what was in his heart. He knows what's in my heart. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But I just appreciate God giving me the strength. I appreciate God walking my way, saving my soul. I really believe I'm saved today because of the prayers of my grandfather and our pastor and many of you. Out of all my siblings, I don't know why God would choose me. I always felt like I'm the lowest of the low, the dirty, rotten, Gentile, heathen dog that I am. But some reason God saw fit to save my wretched soul. I say that to say, don't be ashamed to pray for somebody. If you think it's impossible, don't. God can do a work even whenever you don't think He can. Even in the midst of your storm, whenever you think He's not there, He's going to come your way. So I encourage you, trust God. Believe Him. Believe Him. Amen. Robert, you come today. See, close it out as you see fit.
Amen. That was good. I was thinking, don't want to add anything to what he said, but just thinking there, he said that he constrained them. He set all that up, brother.
He did.
He put them in the storm.
Sure
on purpose so that he could get them out of it. And he put you in the storm that you're in today or that you were in last week on purpose and to show you some things and to grow you in the grace of God. And it's His perfect will for you to be there. It's exactly His perfect will for you to be there. You know, you think about those men as they was out there, or even Peter. You know, it was God's will for Peter to come out there. and show him that he can't make it without him, without the Master. He can't make it without the Master. And God, a lot of times we're hard-headed, and he has to show us. We do it our own way, and you know, but he's in the storm. He puts you in the storm. When you're in the storm, remember that he put you there. And if we'll stop trying to get out of it ourselves and just ride the storm with him and call on God whenever he whenever he's working and whenever we seem like we're sinking, if we'll just call on him. If you know, the other ones, if they'd asked to come out there, I'm sure the Lord would let them. But they didn't have no faith like Peter had. And a lot of times we jump on Peter, but he did get out of the ship. And there's a bunch of us that's still sitting in the ship. We're crying, Lord, where is the Lord? You know, a couple chapters in front of that, he talks about, you know, the Lord was asleep on the ship. And they was going through the storm. But he spoke, and the storm calmed down. And the wind ceased, and the rain stopped. And he'll do that in your life if you'll just call on him. If you'll just call on him, he'll do that in your life. He'll do that in my life. Just remember when you're in the storm that he's still working. That storm's not too big for him. The wind and seas, they obey his will. And I believe that's right this morning. Don't forget, if you got offered, put an offering plates are up here. We won't pass them this morning. Don't forget service tonight. Pray for our pastor as he comes back. I appreciate this brother being with us this morning. It's from India. If you think about it, get a prayer card from him. Hopefully he'll be able to come back with us and spend some time with us when our pastor's here. Brother, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for again another opportunity to come before you, Lord, hear your preached word. Father, Lord, we thank you. We know, Lord, no doubt, Lord, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Lord, we thank you for that blessed hope, Lord, that we can ride the storm with you, Lord, Father. You make it easy. We just ask you, thank you for the good touch, Lord, helping Brother Chris as he preached. We can pray for Brother Shank, Lord, down there in Waxhaw. I pray, Lord, that their services go well. I pray for good traveling mercies, Lord. I pray for traveling mercies for people here, Father, Lord, as we go out. Lord, when we come back tonight, Father, I just pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.